advice from the book of Proverbs. And as we look topically through the book of Proverbs, we're going to see a number of things of advice, as well as rebuke that is given as a father to a son. And we can really glean some good application from this, especially if you are a father, how to handle your kids, whether they're children, little children, or whether they're also adult children. Some will be more applicable for little kids, and some will be more applicable for those who are much older children. But also we see in this passage our Father and how He deals with us and how He encourages us, how He gives us advice, and also how He oftentimes has to rebuke us as well. So follow along with me if you can. Passages will be up on the screen, but you can turn along with me if you want to as well, and so that we might be able to pass on the wisdom of God by advising and rebuking our children and each other as well. So first of all, we want to see the motive for giving rebuke, and we'll start off with the rebuke part, and this is part of advice and rebuke and helping, you know, you go to dad and you get those, remember those long lectures that your dad gave to you? Yeah. And then, of course, you become a dad. And what do? You give long lectures to your kids. It just happens that way. But that's part of being a dad sometimes. But the nice thing is Solomon keeps it nice and short and sweet and makes it memorable as well, condenses it down and makes it easy to share with other people. But what is the motive for giving rebuke? The first one that we see is in Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. He says, "Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed." This one has been an important one in my heart, in my life, especially as a pastor. In many ways, my role is to care for, shepherd over God's sheep, and sometimes that includes rebuking and that sort of thing and giving advice. But this is important for us because it is, as Solomon says here, it is better to openly rebuke somebody. It is better to mess it up, okay? And let's face it, it's not fun giving rebuke to people, even our children. It's just not fun. And when somebody does something that is not what God expects of them, it falls on us to be able to, especially as dads, to share with them and to talk with them and to confront them. And nobody likes confrontation, but it is very important. And it is better to do it, and maybe even do it badly, than to never say anything and just watch somebody fail and continue in their sin and not do what God wants them to do. So he says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. He says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." You know, an enemy will just tell you what you want to hear. They, even when you're messing up and doing something that is wrong, they'll be happy to tell you that it's okay. Oh, you'll be all right. Those are the kisses of an enemy. Yeah, they're making you falsely feel good about what you're doing that is evil. And that is not good at all. It is much better to have a friend who comes along and is willing to speak with you the truth of God's word, willing to tell you what's wrong in your life. And kids, if your dad or mom come up to you and rebuke you, that is, tell you what you're doing wrong, be thankful, because that means that they love you. They love you very much, and they care about you enough to say something about it. They're not, and they are really, truly your friend. You know, so many people want to just be friends to their kids. They don't want to be parents to them and make the hard decisions and do the hard things. But if you really, truly want to be a friend to your child, faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? So that includes rebuking. Now, of course, we don't want to have to do that all the time, and we want to give more positive reinforcement and encouragement to our children than we do with rebuke. But when rebuke is necessary, it needs to be done. He also says in Proverbs 13:24, He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Oh, kids, you love that one, don't you? Disciplines them diligently. Yeah, my dad's way too diligent, right? Is that what you're thinking? I'm sure. But consequences and giving discipline to children, especially when they're young, is extremely important. And it shows the love that a father has for his children. They will, if they love them, they will discipline them diligently because they know the outcome of that discipline. They know what it will produce, the character that it will produce in the child, the godly character that will serve them the rest of their life. Don't withhold that rod. Don't withhold those consequences to your kids. It's heart-wrenching, isn't it, dads, to rebuke your kids and to even give them consequences, whether physical consequences or grounding them or whatever it might be that you use for discipline, depending on the situation and depending on the age of the child. But if you withhold that, it's not good for the child and it's not good for your relationship. So he says, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Discipline, verse Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is hope and do not desire his death. One of the things that some of you know who Pastor Mike Wingfield is, he does prophecy conferences looking at end time events and how they apply to the world around us, the current events of the day. He's been up here a couple of times, but one of the times that he was up here, he stayed with us in our home. And one of the things that I remember him telling Leah and I is, discipline your children when they're young. If you do your job well when they're young, then when they're older, it'll be much easier and you won't have all the problems that oftentimes come with the rebellious teen years. And I've talked to so many parents who are going through so much flack and so much difficulty because of their teenage children, and they're dreading the teenage years. Like, my kid's almost a teenager, and I'm scared to death. I have no idea. Well, if you do your job early, while there's still hope. Now, there's always hope with the Lord Jesus, isn't there? But if you do your job well early on, then you will be much better off later on. So discipline your son while there is hope. Proverbs 20 and verse 30 says, stripes that wound scour away evil and strokes reach the innermost parts. Physical consequences done properly and in measure are very helpful and commanded by God. It hurts. It hurts the parent to give those physical consequences. It also hurts the child, but in it produces again that godly character, and it reaches down. I don't know how. It's strange how it works, but God has designed us this way. It reaches into the innermost part. It gets to the heart of the child, and really helps reinforce the discipline that you're giving to them. Proverbs 22:15. We've had to share this verse a number of times with our kids, right? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And we know that that is true. They're the naive ones, okay? That the book of Proverbs, we've seen that before. The naive. They just don't know yet. They haven't had experience. They just don't know. And so they're green, they're new, they just don't have the experience to be able to understand and know. So the foolishness is bound up in their heart. But the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And that discipline, again, in many different forms, but specifically physical forms, especially when they're in their younger years, is extremely important. And it will drive that foolishness from the heart of a child. And kids, I know you don't like it, and it's tough. But I remember my mom sharing with me that she always felt bad that she had to spank me. And And it happened fairly often. I even broke a wooden spoon one time. She was going to paddle me with a wooden spoon, and it must have been loose, or the glue was loose or something, but she started paddling me, and the thing broke. You know, I was like, yes, I'm free. But that paddling, you know, she felt bad about it, and she, oh, I felt so bad that I had to paddle you when you were young. And I remember saying to my mom, Mom, thank you. Thank you for giving me those paddles. It made a difference, and it taught me what I needed to know, and I'm grateful that you did it. And it's really true. As we continue on, these motives, Proverbs 23, verses 14 and 15, you shall strike him with a rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. It's such an important aspect of discipline and of rebuke, having to do with the rod as well, and giving those physical consequences. It will rescue somebody's soul from hell. In other words, it'll keep them from doing evil in this world. And that's why, again, God commands that to be done. And it is a command of His. He says, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad. So you see the progression. There are physical consequences, the rod. It rescues the soul from Sheol, brings them into wisdom, and as they're wise, it brings joy to the Father, because the heart of the Father will be glad. And it certainly is true. As you begin to see the fruit of the discipline and the rebuke that you give as a father, you will begin to see the joy that comes from that as they become wise. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Oh boy, we see this many times in our society today. There are so many latchkey kids, their parents are oftentimes off working so that they can make money and so that they can provide all these gifts and things to give to their kids. But what their kids really need is time with their parents. And they need their parents to stand up and make rules for them and tell them this is right and this is wrong, don't do this, and to set those rules and even give reproof to them and say, children, what, you shouldn't be doing this. You need to be doing this instead. So many kids are growing up without any discipline in the home, any reproof at all from their parents, and they're given everything that they possibly could want, at least what they think they want. But what they really need, of course, again, is that time with their parents. They need real parents who will stand up and set boundaries for them and tell them what is right and what is wrong. Continue on, Proverbs 29:17, a couple verses later, says, correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. I see so many stressed out parents. And they just can't handle it. You know, there's so much going on, and their kids are wild, and they're going crazy, and rebelling, and doing this, and doing that. I've had many of them come and talk to me and say, "Oh, I just can't handle it anymore. They're so difficult, and it's so hard. What should I do?" Proverbs 29:17. Correct them, and they will give you comfort. They will be a delight to your soul. As you faithfully and consistently apply the scriptures to your children, they will be a delight to your soul. Not a burden, not a difficulty, but a delight. And you will look forward to the teen years. You will look forward to them growing into adulthood and becoming great men and women of God, as you do what God commands you to do. So correct them. It's so important to be able to do that. Tell them, you know, the Bible says, don't do this. You're to honor your parents, your mother and your father. You're not to whine and complain about things. You're not to lie. And there's only a few things that we give consequences for, physical consequences for, and that's direct disobedience, lying, and disrespect. And kids know and understand that if they do those things, there are going to be consequences for them. And they are a delight to my soul. I mean, I love my kids, and they are such a joy to my heart. And it's God's word is true and really works the way that it says it's to work. Now, he continue on in verse chapter 3. We had these verses read to us. It says, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." And this really puts it up on the Heavenly Father and what he does. He corrects us. And the reason that we as fathers are to correct our children is because that is what our Heavenly Father does as well. He knows our sinfulness, doesn't he? He knows we need correction, and sometimes we get a God spank sometimes, don't we? And it happens when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. There are natural consequences that happen just in the course of life that bring us correction in our lives that our Father allows to happen to us. And it teaches us and helps us and corrects us, especially if we're in His Word and begin to see what we've done wrong and what we should do in place of that. So, kids, as it says there, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or of your dad, or loathe his reproof. Listen carefully to what he has to say, your mom and your dad. Don't hate it, but love that discipline that he gives, because you know that it's building character in your life. Because the Lord loves those whom he reproves. He doesn't do it because he hates you. He does it because he loves you very deeply and is willing to correct you and willing to share with you when you're doing something that is wrong. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, this verse is a little tricky. It's hard to tell. Some people believe that it's the negative aspect of this verse, and some believe it's the positive aspect. I think it's probably both. If you train up a child positively in the way that they should go towards righteousness, then when they're old, they won't depart from it. And that's an encouragement as you begin to see that as your children grow into adulthood. But the other way can be true too, right? Because you're always training your child. Whether you're training through neglect or whether you're training through the scriptures, you're training your child. And there are a lot of parents who are training their children to not obey God. And as they do that, when they grow older, they're not going to depart from that, or it's going to be very difficult for them to depart from that, apart from the intervention of the Holy Spirit and the work of God in their life in bringing them to salvation and conviction. So train them up in the way they should go, in the positive sense, so that when they're old, they won't depart from that. William MacDonald, in his Bible Believers commentary, quoted Henry Ward Beecher, who observed that it's not hard to make a child or a tree grow right if you train them when they're young. But to make them straighten out after you have allowed things to go wrong, it's not an easy matter at all. And it's so true. Got to do it when they're young, but there's always hope. I always tell people there's always hope. Always start as soon as possible. Even if you've missed a lot, you can start now, and it'll have an effect on the life of your kids. So that is why we are to give rebuke to our children. The motive for us, because we love them, as fathers love their children. They are able to rebuke them and share that love through that rebuke. Now, again, this needs to be tempered. We don't want to rebuke all the time. It should be a consistent thing, but it shouldn't be something that happens most of the time, right? Most of the time, what should we be doing? Encouraging our kids, giving positive influence to them, sharing with them the positiveness of the scriptures, what they should be following and what God says that they should be doing, rather than rebuking them for what they have done wrong. So make sure you encourage your kids as well, and even tell them when they're doing what is right and say, "Hey, that was a good job. Way to go." That will make the rebuke even much more effective when it happens seldomly in the life of a child. So I encourage you to do that. New Testament passage that kind of wraps all this up, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. No kidding. It is not joyful to go through the discipline, whether it's of the Lord or a discipline of a parent. It is sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And that's what we want for ourselves and also for our children, is that they would be righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ, following after the word of God and doing what God wants them to do, so that they can have a full life, a life that is close to God. All right, well, who should get this rebuke and this advice? Who should we share these things with? Well, the first one is a wise man. Proverbs 9:7-9 says, he who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. It's the amazing thing about somebody who is a believer, somebody who understand or accepts God's word as the spoken word of God, as the inspired scriptures, as they're reproved by the word of God, whether through you coming along and sharing with them or whatever it might be, they become wiser even more. They learn even more. And that is such a great thing to see, that that progression of becoming wiser and wiser still. And it shows that that there is a relationship there with God. It shows an honor for God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember that? So it shows that honor for God. So, but on the flip side of that, you don't reprove a scoffer. They're just going to hate you for it. How many times have you seen that, where somebody who just hates God? I've seen many debates between Christians and atheists, and they try to reprove the person and correct them, or but they're scoffers. They don't care about the scriptures. It doesn't sink down into their hearts, and they just mock the person that they're debating with. Ha, you Christians, you have no idea what you're talking about. And they laugh at Christians. You don't reprove a scoffer. They're just going to hate you. You're just going to get dishonor for yourself as you do that, and insults. Unless, of course, it's absolutely necessary. But let's continue on. Proverbs 10, verse 8, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. So the wise in heart are those whom we want to reprove, those whom we want to give advice to and encourage, because they will receive those commands. A babbling fool, somebody who just... You ever met somebody who just, they just never stop talking? And usually it's about themselves. They just never stop. And they never are quiet long enough for you to share anything with them that might be of use to them, because they're too busy talking. It's wise to listen and to stop for a moment. The wise in heart will receive commands and will be quiet long enough to go, maybe I ought to listen to somebody, because they might have something important for me to understand. So the wise in heart are those that we share these truths with as well. Also, a wise son. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Kids, don't be a scoffer. Don't, when your parents are sharing with you, are rebuking you, telling you that you've done something wrong or that you've broken one of the rules of the house, don't storm off and slam doors, get upset. Receive that rebuke and honor your parents, because that is what a wise person who has a wise heart will do. Listen to them carefully, okay? Accept that discipline, because a scoffer doesn't listen to any rebuke. He just laughs at it and says, oh, you Bible-thumping people, all you do is talk about the Bible. There's so much more out there that you don't understand. They just scoff at the Lord, and they scoff at the Scriptures. Another person that we should be sharing with is somebody who listens. We see that in Proverbs 15:31. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Wow. So important to listen to the reproof that we get, whether it's from our Heavenly Father or whether it's from our earthly fathers. And I still, listen to my dad. And sometimes he has to tell me something. Ethan, that was not a wise thing to do. Dad, I'm 49, okay? But yes, you're right, Dad. I should listen to you. Honoring them, listening to that life-giving reproof, and you will dwell among those wise. Oh, the next one that we should give reproof to is one who has understanding. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding, that is, understands the Scriptures, accepts, receives the Scriptures, and has that understanding of who God is, then 100 blows into a fool. So somebody who has understanding will listen to that rebuke, and it's important to share that rebuke with them. Somebody who we should not share with, this is the negative aspect of it, is a fool. And we've seen that in a number of these passages that have a contrast between the two. But Proverbs 23 and verse 9 says, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." So what should we do with a fool? If we're not supposed to speak in the hearing of a fool, what should we do? Well, if there are children, that's where the rod comes in, because the rod of discipline will drive it far from them, that foolishness. But for adults and those who are acting foolishly as adults and living foolishly, the natural consequences of this world or of the law, oftentimes, is what they need to have happen to them, unfortunately. And the best thing that could happen to them is if they get caught. Somebody's doing drugs or something like that. As an adult, they're living foolishly doing those things. Probably the very best thing that could happen to them is they get caught doing that, get put in jail, and get confronted with the fact that what they're doing is not good. So don't speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will just despise the wisdom of your words. And by the way, that's a good indication where your kids are at too, right? Are they receiving rebuke or are they not receiving rebuke? If they're receiving rebuke, give them more and help them to understand and love them and share with them the truth and give them advice from God's word. If they're not receiving rebuke, there's still some foolishness bound up in there, and you need to take care of that and take note of that and be able to help them. All right. Another one that we should give rebuke to is one who values the rebuker. Take a look at this. Proverbs 25, verse 12. "Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to the listening ear." You catch that? So the person who's listening to the rebuke is looking to the person who's giving that rebuke and saying, "Wow, they're like gold. That person, they care enough about me to tell me that I'm doing something wrong and to help correct my behavior. Wow, they're like an ornament of fine gold, gold is valuable, and I value that person because they're willing to share that with me." That's the point of what he's trying to say here in Proverbs 25. So we need to value those who are willing to come to us and tell us, "Hey, you're being a knucklehead. You ought not to do that. This is what God's word says and why you're doing and what you're doing that is wrong. And I will help you correct that." All right, one final one who is humble. The final person especially that we should be giving rebuke to is those who are humble. "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man is he who listens to counsel." It takes a great deal of humility to listen to somebody tell you that what you're doing is wrong, right? And I've had that happen many times. People come and tell me, "Hey, listen, what are you doing? That's not a wise thing to do at all." It's important to be able to be humble enough to listen to that, to take it into account, and to see if, okay, evaluate it. Is this really true? Is this something I need to, is this something I need to change in my life? Because the fool is always right in his own eyes. They always know what is best. Don't tell me what you're, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I know exactly, I know, I'm okay. That's a fool. They're wise in their own eyes, and that's going to be a big problem for them. But if you're humble enough to listen, it's going to be good. Okay, next thing. We only got a few more minutes. Benefits of listening. We'll have to go through these a little pretty quickly. The first one is long life. One of the benefits of listening is, was read for us this morning. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. We've seen similar verses to this in some of the other passages that we talked with. And it is true that it really does give us that strength. It gives us a longer life as we do what God tells us to do. As Solomon is cheering with his son or with his disciples as well, that what they should do. You know, it's interesting. Adding years to our life, it'll give us that longer life. I was talking with a guy that I work with, and he lives with Teen Challenge, and he works with them. He helps do some of the cooking and that sort of thing. And he was telling me a couple weeks ago, I think it was, he was sharing with me, he said, one of our students at Teen Challenge had been with us for almost a year, maybe even a little longer, and he got a furlough to go home and see his family. Went home, saw his family. His family found him in the bathroom with heroin and a syringe, and he died. He overdosed. Wow. To not listen to that rebuke that stuff is bad for you and that how to overcome that. He may have listened to it, but he wasn't letting it sink down into his heart, and it caused him to not have the length of days or years of life and peace added to his life, but difficulty. So the benefit is listening to those things, and you get long life as a result of it. Also, we get mutual help from these things. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17 says. As we rebuke each other and help each other, and look into God's word together, it's like sharpening each other. We use this especially for men, but it doesn't have to be men. Women can do this too. You sharpen each other and you become wiser. You become sharper in your understanding of the scriptures and sharper in your living of the word of God. So it helps you mutually to rebuke even one another. All right, Proverbs 19:16. He who keeps the command keeps his soul, but he who is careless of conduct will die. So it will give you life as well. Again, this kind of goes with the Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, but it will give us more life as we do what God commands us to do and as we listen to the rebuke that comes from God. And kids, as your parents give you the rebuke and teach you the way that you should go, it is really good. It will give you life as also. All right, wisdom is another benefit that comes as a result of this. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be experience that? Listen to counsel. Listen to your folks. Listen to your father and the wise counsel that he gives to you. And all of this needs to be tempered, of course, with the scriptures. If your dad gives you advice and it doesn't come from the word of God, he tells you to go out and rob a bank, should you do that? No, don't do that. That's not wise counsel. But if it is wise counsel, listen to it and accept it, and you will be even wiser still. Proverbs 19:25 is our next one. More knowledge. You will gain more knowledge. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. If you are humble enough to receive rebuke from God and from one another, then you will become even wiser still. that is a great benefit that comes with these things. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, as we continue to move on. This also is more knowledge. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates rebuke or reproof is stupid. Wow, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? You know, that God would call us stupid, but I don't even really like to use that word, but it's in the scriptures. And that's exactly what it is. If you love discipline, if you love being gaining knowledge, then listen to rebuke. It also gives us honor. That's the next one that we see here. Honor, poverty, and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. You will be honored as a result of it. There is great honor that comes with listening to that rebuke. All right, another one, sensibility. Proverbs 15 and verse 5, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. You become sensible. Do you want to live a sensible life? Listen to your father's rebuke. Kids, do you want to be sensible? Do you want to have good sense about you and know what is right and what is wrong and how to deal with situations? Listen to your father's reproof and his advice. Another one here, understanding, Proverbs 15:32. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. And this kind of goes along with the knowledge, gaining knowledge. Again, also this understanding that comes with it. An understanding, again, of who God is and that his word is important. So some great benefits here. And real quickly, some dangers. The dangers of not listening. Proverbs 19:27, cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 10, verse 17, he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. And so we see that drifting that takes place if we don't listen to the rebuke of one of the father or of from one another. So don't drift. Don't backslide. Stay and listen to that rebuke. Breakdown is the next one. If we don't listen to reproof, we're going to break down. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. And how many of you have seen difficult situations where people have just broken down as a result of continual hardness of heart? And not listening to rebuke. They've been told over and over and over that they should do something and they don't do it. And ends up bringing them brokenness in their life. Also, one of the other punishments punishment. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. And this does happen, as I mentioned even before. And the man at Teen Challenge, what a sad story, and it does happen. And we want to not have that happen to us. So let's be careful about that. Another one here is separation. A scoffer does not love one who reproves him. He will not go to the wise. There's a separation between those who are wise and the scoffer. And they have to separate themselves from relationships with other people simply because they don't want to listen to wise rebuke. So there, it causes difficulties and breaks in relationships. I've seen this in my own family, my extended family. I won't name who they are or anything like that, but there's some in my family that some are of one party and some are of another political party, and I won't even tell you what political parties there are, but. But one person in the family is voting for somebody, and the other person in the family says, well, if you're going to vote for him, I don't want anything to do with you. How sad. That separation that happens there. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, that type of thing can happen if we scoff at the Word of God. Another one is remorse. The one who despises the Word... And Proverbs 13:13, the one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. There's a remorse that comes in. if you don't do what God tells you to do, because you will be in debt to that word. There's going to be remorse, and you're going to think, oh, I wish I had listened. If I only had listened to what the word of God said, if I'd only listened to what my dad and my mom had told me, it would have been so much better for me. But if you do listen to it, he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. That is, honors the commandments of God. There is great reward, as we saw earlier, that comes to these things. So dads, let me encourage you with this. Don't be afraid to reprove your kids when it's necessary. But make sure you temper that reproof with as much encouragement as you can possibly give them. Build them up. Sometimes to build them up, you have to tear down a little bit and share with them what is wrong and point that out. But it shouldn't be often. Hopefully it's not very often. But it is necessary sometimes, and don't be afraid to do that. Kids, listen to your parents. Okay? They love you. And your dad shares those reproofs with you because he cares about you. So listen to what he has to say and be wise. And for all of us, may we do that with our Heavenly Father as well, understanding that sometimes he has to rebuke us. He loves us very dearly, and he only does it because of that love that he has for us. And when he sees one of his children straying from the commandments that he has given to us in the Scriptures, he wants to rebuke us and reprove us through the Word of God so that we might be wise, so that we might live the best possible way, the right, most righteous way for the Lord Jesus Christ. So may we be encouraged to do that today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these wise words, this encouragement for those of us who are fathers, but for all of us as well, to understand this rebuke and advice that we're to receive from you and also to give even to one another. May we be humble. May we have a heart that is soft. May we not be scoffers, but listen carefully to your word and honor your commandments, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We have one more song that we're going to sing, Faith of Our Fathers. Let's stand together.